Welcome back to the Press Play Podcast, the only podcast on the internet that thinks the Florida State Seminoles are the luckiest fucking team in college football and I'll die on that hill.
I mean, you are not wrong, but
better to be lucky than good, right?
I mean, that's, yeah. Because then you have a better excuse when they lose. Like, hey, you know, we did good the beginning of the season. You know, our luck ran out. Instead of just saying, we fucking suck.
Are we more lucky or is Dabo more stupid?
Dabo is really fucking stupid. Dabo is really fucking stupid. And Boston College gave you literally two football fields worth of penalties. So, I mean,
yeah,
do with that information what you will.
It's a hell of a game.
Yeah, it was a damn good game.
It was. But as we get that out of the way, we're not a sports podcast. We just have to talk about it every once in a while.
That's right. We just like to talk. We just like to spend the first 30 seconds talking about it, especially when it's, you know, football season, because we are in the South. And anybody that knows anything about the South is football is basically,
well,
Jesus.
South's in California, but yeah. The South will always live up here.
That it
exactly.
Will.
South it will always live in his mind and in his heart. But yeah, like Ian said, this is not a sports podcast. This is a movie podcast, and we're officially full fledged into spooky season. Seth had the first spooky season pick last week with The Shining. And this week was my pick, and I chose the 1977
Seven. Yeah.
Dario Argento film Suspiria. It had been quite a while since I've seen this movie.
Same.
And I've always explained this movie as a visual masterpiece. And I watched it last night and I started thinking, why didn't I talk about the plot or anything to anybody? And I just always explained it as a visual masterpiece. Well, we'll get into that.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's a reason for it, because I do the same thing. I talk about how beautiful of a movie it is, and there's a reason we don't talk about the plot to many people. And yeah. I get a feeling that since Seth has never seen it and he has to go first, we're about to hear why.
And I was just about to say, Seth...
He's got this look on him like, I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
You tell us why the only thing that this movie should be mentioned for is its cinematography and its... you know, artistry, so to speak. Please, sir, the floor is yours.
You ever been drinking in a bar?
Here we go.
And then...
No, never.
You're like, you're there early, right? And you're the only one there. And then this guy walks up. He kind of sits a couple of chairs down from you. He says, howdy. You notice he's dressed a little flashy, a little weird. And then he starts talking to you, and he's using all these fanciful words, but you begin to realize that he doesn't know what those words mean, and his clothes are really fucking gaudy when you look at him up close, and everything that he says has no substance. That's what this movie is. This is I don't know what this is. There is no fucking plot. I don't know what I watched. I really don't. And you say this the cinematography? Bullshit. This film is gaudy as fuck. This is one of the ugliest movies I've ever watched. I can't stand the way this movie looks. I can't stand the way it's shot. It's fucking artsy, fartsy, pretentious bullshit. There is no... It's all... He's trying so hard to put his style in your face that there is no substance. This is an... I could tell someone really likes Stanley Kubrick. Because this is a very cheap fucking imitation of him. This is one of the worst pieces of shit I've ever watched. This is awful, awful, awful filmmaking. And the moment you said he was Italian, I had a little fucking I had a smidge of precaution. I was like, fuck, Italian movies suck. And guess what? This Italian movie really fucking sucks.
I had a feeling that Seth was either going to really love this film or he was going to hate it.
There is no, there's, be no there's, in between. There's never in between. There's never an in between with this film. A lot of people are like, and I hated it, one star, don't get it, or, you know, four and five stars. Like, I loved it. You know, I really do enjoy it. I kind of figured, and I was hoping I would be wrong, but, you know, it is what it is. I kind of assumed. I mean, the colors are one thing, but I like the set design and the angles that are used in the film just fine. I think they're great. I think the colors can be a little bit toned back a little bit. Like, and by the way, this is going on the table of, I'm arguing that this is a Christmas movie because the amount of green and red in this movie, I'm like, no, this is
a
Christmas movie.
There was
a
lot of green and red. Yeah, there was a lot of green and red and blues and yellows. Mm-hmm. I will disagree with you on one thing, Seth. I think that the way the film was shot was fine. Some of the camera angles that he used, some of the choices he used were very dated. But some of them were like really, really good. Like, for example, there was a scene and it was in green, but he was shooting through the light bulb.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. I thought that was a really, really good shot. And there was a couple of shots in there like that. Yeah.
I liked
But I can also see where you're coming from, Seth.
This movie has a 10-minute problem where if you don't like the first 10 minutes, you are not going to like the rest of the film. If you do like the first 10 minutes, yeah, then you're going to be fine. But the first 10 minutes for me, when they're in the, I don't know if it's a hotel or an apartment complex or whatever, the lady who left the school right before she's murdered and the shots of her roommates running through the hallway and you see them from the ground floor and you can see her three stories up banging on doors. Just the architecture of the apartment or hotel they're in, I very much enjoyed those shots. And I think that, they are very Kubricky, but that's okay. Just because they're a knockoff doesn't mean they're not good. And it has probably one of my favorite kills in horror, and that is the first 10 minutes where they stabbed a woman to death. And I'm to the point where it gets comical. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I think you got her. You could stop now.
Yeah,
and then drop her down with the noose, starts around her waist, and then goes to her neck.
Yeah,
yeah.
I liked it very much.
That was fine.
And then just as an added bonus, her friend dies too.
Yeah, yeah. That was not surprising. I mean, because it kind of made sense that would happen with the amount of fucking stained glass that was falling from five stories up. And she's right underneath it. Yeah, I mean,
and metal that
she's probably going to die. Her.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I saw the first, when the first 10 minutes ended, it's basically an introduction, and the kill happens. I was like, okay, I think I know what this movie is going to be, and I was waiting. I was just waiting and hoping that it got bonkers, and it never does. It jerks you off in the beginning, and then. Then leaves you hanging because you were short $5. It's like going to a strip club where they don't take off any clothing.
That is three magical metaphors like from Seth in 8 minutes.
Yeah, I know, right? It was, yeah. Seth just compared this movie to the Show and Tell Strip Club in Panama City Beach, Florida, and he's not wrong.
He's really not.
It's just an ugly waste of time.
You're an ugly waste.
There
of
you
time.
Go.
Like I said, I could completely understand where you're coming from with that. I'm just going to be with Ian here. I happen to disagree. I like the film. It's not as over the top as I remembered it being because it's been probably 20 years since I've seen this movie.
That's what I wanted to bring up. I love it.
This
anymore.
Is definitely one of those
have like
you seen it lately
fine.
Movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is definitely one of those have you seen it lately movies for sure.
Because for those of you that don't know, because we have completely neglected this, because once again, we're just talking about the style. We have to talk about the plot, which is as simple as fuck. This girl from America comes to Germany to join this ballet school that just happens to be run by witches. The end.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it takes 2 hours for them to tell you that.
Yeah, they definitely wait till Act 3 to reveal that it's witches, and then they just exposit it at you all at once, where the billionaire from Ace Ventura comes in and starts, and he's drinking beer, and then he's like, all right, I gotta go. Yeah. I'm gonna let this old guy exposit the rest, because I'm just tired and I don't want to be here. And he's basically talking about the witches and the coven and how it's, you cut off the head of the snake because all their power gets multiplied by running it through the head witch or something. Basically, Super Saiyan God, but for assholes. but I think that's pretty much how it works.
Yeah.
Because he literally says, like, witches use their power for bad. I'm like, it's a very one-dimensional way of thinking. Like, did you see Wizard of Oz?
Yeah. And I will say this, despite your feelings on the movie set, this one is leaps and bounds better than the remake, which was made just a few years ago. You think this was a hot piece of garbage? Yeah, that one was...
I can only imagine.
This movie, and I didn't realize this until the movie was over, spawned a sequel called Inferno.
Two, actually.
Which I watched, I watched immediately afterwards. Which I watched immediately afterwards because I felt an obligation to. And it was a better film, I thought.
And I have not seen Inferno, but I did know that there was the two sequels. It's basically, there's a trilogy, but the last part in the trilogy came out in like the 2000s, I think.
Yeah.
But funny enough, I don't frequent a lot of Dario's work, but there was this article that I read the other day. It's like the top 15 slashers of all time, and one of them was his, and it wasn't Suspiria. It was something called Tenebrae or something. I'm like, I've never even seen or heard of that movie. But yeah,
and then you've got his Zombie, which is a classic film, a great film. It's basically his take on Dawn of the Dead. Him and Romero, because him and Romero wrote Dawn of the Dead together in Italy. And then Romero came out with his version, and Argento came out with his version, but, you know, because of copyright things, completely with Romero's good wishes, came out with Zombie, which was his version of it, and it was iconic. It's an iconic horror movie. So he's got some out there. But Italian horror, that's like Seth said earlier, most Italian movies are garbage. In Italian horror specifically, you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. There is no in between. I just happen to love it. I don't love this film, but I do appreciate it.
Funny enough, I had such a fond memory of it, and I brought this up last week. I remembered really liking it, but remember nothing about it. And to the point where I totally forgot about the blind guy's death. And I forgot how he died. And he's just standing there, and the music is, in parts, it can be annoying, but other parts,
especially the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, but in the scene with the blind guy and his dog, I thought it was used rather perfectly, because it's used, it gets very loud, and then it just stops, and you're like, okay, it's like 2 or 3 seconds go by, like, what's about to happen? And then his dog just bit his neck, and I went, oh, fuck yes. I don't know why that kill made me laugh so much, because I forgot. I thought someone was about to come out of the shadows and stab him, but I forgot it was the dog. And that was a very weird kill, because I was not expecting it.
Mm-hmm. That's one of those things that I had forgotten as well. And I also forgot, you mentioned your favorite kill earlier. I forgot my favorite kill, which was the lady that gets thrown into the barbed wire towards the end of the movie. I thought that was extremely well done.
That
whole sequence was extremely well done.
I like
that
the practical
wire was
effects.
Smooth.
Well, yeah, obviously, but
obviously, so I mean, come on, you got to use a little bit of imagination.
I had to watch that scene twice because
you don't. You could have made it from plastic or something. I don't know. Cardboard, even.
Well, I had to watch the scene twice because she sneaks into the window and she looks like she's about to jump over to try to make it to another window. Not even close. But I'm thinking the camera doesn't show you. So I'm like, did she even look down at what she was even attempting to jump over? Because my hypothesis is no, she did not.
No,
I think
she didn't
look. Like, you did not look where you were going. You stupid idiot.
No, that happened. And I immediately looked at the timer. I see how much was left. And I was like, come on, this has to be over.
It's like 20 minutes, maybe.
And
Because it ends rather suddenly, and I like that it doesn't waste your time with the ending. Like, she walks away, the house is on fire, and we don't get that extra 3 minutes or 4 minutes like we do in The Exorcist. Like, no, what else do you need to know?
Cut to black.
It's a 90-minute movie. And it's over.
Yep. Mm. Yep. Like I said, and there's a reason why any horror movie list that you ever see, top 100, top 10, top 50, top whatever. This movie's on it. Somewhere, but they only ever show you, they only ever show you the opening kill scene. Mm-hmm. And there's probably a reason for that, because that is, and it's at the, to a point, I understand your feelings on the cinematography and the way it's shot and the set designs and the color schemes and everything like that. But that was gorgeous.
Yes.
Everything about that sequence to me and to Ian, obviously, was gorgeous.
No, it immediately brought me back to, you know, the Hammer films, because the blood mm-hmm. looks exactly the same. This could easily be, you know, misunderstood as a Hammer film, because in a lot of ways they're the same, down to yeah. the bad makeup with the witch at the end. That just yeah. screamed Hammer. The color of the blood screamed Hammer. The grand yeah. architecture screamed Hammer.
This yeah. this just doesn't have the charm of a Hammer film, though.
Well, not yeah, for me. Because you know somebody's not looking like, because the charm is the British actors and the old stories, and it they're much more. I know what you're saying. There's something about them. I don't know what it is.
And in yeah, Hammer films, you also have recognizable actors. This movie's got a bunch of people that we've never heard of before, and we'll never see again.
Not even the recognizable actors. It's the over the top performances, the mm-hmm. The stories that embrace the camp. There is no camp here.
There's one person overacting, and it's like the dance instructor. Witch. No, not the head witch, because the dance instructor. Who was basically she was the one who threw out the blind guy.
That's right.
She was overacting the whole time, and I loved her. I loved her.
Yeah.
But the problem I have with you know the overall composition of the film is good filmmakers, they understand that whenever you use especially primary colors in a shot to encompass the entire block. You know, your reds and your greens and your blues are supposed to invoke a feeling. They're supposed to invoke a mood.
Oh, all the red clearly invoked something in you.
These colors are just here to be there because he thought they looked pretty. And you know, there's nothing really inherently wrong with it. It's not sophisticated. He did it because he saw it could be done. He seen it in other movies. He didn't understand what it meant. And he just did it. I'm going to put red here because I like the way the red looks here. I want to go put green here in this room with these people because I like the way it looks in the shot. And then moments later in the same room with the same people, I'll have a different color. A different primary color because I think it looks pretty, and that's that. He misses the point entirely.
I think he was. I mean, this was shot in the '70s, the psychedelic. Well, a little bit past the psychedelic era, but still, you know, the '70s, a lot of psychedelic stuff going on there, and I think that's what he was trying to encompass was like a psychedelic atmosphere.
He just wanted his movie to pop.
Yeah,
that's what I think he was going for. And it just, like I said, there's nothing wrong with it. To me, it's incorrect. He misses the substance of adding such color to a shot. He just does. And it's, like I said, you're supposed to use it to invoke a mood, a feeling, and it doesn't do any of that. In any shot in this movie, it doesn't do the colors that are used make me feel a certain way. And it just, like I said, it turns me off. I don't think that he really understood what he was doing whenever he was, other than like what Ian said, just to make his shots pop off the screen and, oh, look how bright and colorful it is. It's all red. How fucking cool. But, you know, it damn sure ain't for me. I don't like that style of, It's way solid over substance. There's no substance behind his direction.
I like what you like.
Like I said, I knew when I picked this that Seth was either going to hate it or love it. And like Ian said earlier, with Argento films, you're either going to hate them or Italian horror in general. You're either going to hate it or you're going to love it. There's very, very rarely a middle ground there.
Right. Well, we can
because
at least
the people I've talked to about this movie either hated it or they loved it. Nobody was it was okay.
I can at least promise you this, you know, for all your feelings on this, you would absolutely hate the 2018 version, like with a passion.
Oh yeah.
I bet.
Yeah.
It's it's basically America going, "Hey, you know how we always rip off foreign horror movies? You want to do another one? With and make it worse and make it about, you know, this World War II veteran or something with a mental crisis. Like, who the fuck cares?"
Ugh.
It's way off base.
Yeah.
Is it a Blumhouse production?
It's really only a remake in title alone. It has nothing to do
with it. So someone got the rights to the original title and then ran with it.
Basically.
Exactly.
Because what, 200 people would recognize it? For fuck's sake.
I mean, it's a cult classic. Of the word.
This is a very, very popular horror movie within the horror genre. Those who are true horror fans, like Ian and myself, or I dare say Kanan, would probably be among the people that would love this film. I can almost guarantee that. Lou, who's been on the show before, would probably love this film.
Sly would probably talk about all the bitches in the film that he'd wanted to sleep with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because that's just what Sly does. Shout out,
miss
Sly,
you, buddy.
We'll see you soon, probably.
Oh yeah, when Castlevania Nocturne comes around on Netflix, we're gonna have him back.
Yeah, but you know, at the end of the day, this movie gets a solid C+ for me.
I give it
a B
minus.
I'm not gonna call it a quintessential B movie because it does lack the cheesiness and the campiness that your typical B movie would have. So I'll give it a C+ and leave it at that.
B minus.
I have to give it a D. It's competent.
Better than
enough.
An F.
No, it's competent enough to not get an F.
Tommy Callahan graduated college with a D-. That's all I'm saying.
And he did. Yeah.
I watched that movie over the weekend.
This is the Herbie Hancock of horror movies.
I love it.
I like it.
It just misses the mark in a lot of ways for me. I wanted to like it. I couldn't do it.
So with that being said, what's your pick for next week, Seth? Or Ian?
You have to be doing this on purpose. I feel like he's fucking with us now.
It's Ian's.
I think he is.
It's Ian. Because Seth picked
Every time. I literally thought about that today. I was on my way home. I hadn't watched the movie yet. And I was like, you know what? I made a bet with myself. I fucking bet he does it again. And I thought, he's got to be fucking with me.
Well, whatever. Then.
I literally called that this morning. But, yes, so as much as you have your feelings about this one, don't expect high art in the next week, because we're covering Black Christmas from the 70s and Black Christmas from 2005, 2006. They're just slashers. That's all they are. They're not high art.
They could very well be entries into the Welcome to Schlockville category, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, they could be.
I'm not expecting high art every time we watch a movie. I just...
Warning you now.
Yeah.
Hey.
Do you have an idea what you're going to go with the week after that, Seth?
I may have narrowed it down to a couple. Two or three, actually.
Okay.
Don't quite know yet.
Let's hear the two or three.
They might change.
Oh, that's fair. Because that often happens on this show.
Are they ones you have or have not seen?
Both.
Okay.
Okay.
Both. There is one I have in mind that I'm definitely going to have to watch first, just to see if there's anything worth talking about. But
there's two people who could tell you if it's worth talking about at all, and they're sitting right here.
Yeah. We could talk about it after the recording stops, if you would like.
It's a movie directed by and starring Jonathan Landis called Schlock. That's where the term comes from.
Oh yeah, that's right. I remember you saying that. Yeah,
yeah.
I want to watch it. That's a movie that I, because I've looked at screenshots. I was like, I don't know if I can, really just pin that on
justify
us.
Justify that selection.
Yeah.
So I'll watch.
I've not seen Schlock.
I'll give it Neither a look-see. I may not watch the whole thing, but I'll give it. I'll screen it. And
I've never even heard of it.
About.
Me either.
To be honest with you. I don't have my pick for the week after that, but I'll definitely have something next week selected for sure. So,
and I did watch another Hammer movie. I watched Son of Dracula for the first time ever. Wow, what a cheesy romp!
And, they all are.
Well, it's a Hammer film. Yeah, they all are.
Yeah, but I thought about covering one of the Christopher Lee Draculas because I have never seen those.
Oh man,
really?
I've only seen one, but I don't think anything because the few that I've seen the Gorgon, which is awesome, and the Many Faces of Dr. Jekyll, I think is the title, which we watched together, Seth. And,
which is hilarious.
Oh my god, that movie is freaking joy.
My internet was out the day before yesterday because of random bullshit maintenance, or not Friday, not the day before yesterday. Yeah, well, no, my bill was paid. It was just they were doing maintenance in the area. Anyway, so I was going through my DVD collection, and I completely forgot I've got a box set of classic horror films. It's like 250 films on like 15 different DVDs.
Oh, like, one of those collections?
It was a Walmart buy, an absolute Walmart buy. And there's some gold on there. So I might have to pull one of those out.
By gold,
I know specifically the Last Man on Earth is on there, which if you don't know what that is, it's basically I Am Legend, but it's I Am Legend, but that's the original name is The Last Man on Earth, not I Am Legend. And Dr. Caligula is on there as well, so yeah.
Hmm. All right.
Yep.
This has been real.
Yeah, it's been fun.
It's been real fun.
It actually has. Like, I kind of like it when Seth gets upset.
I wasn't too terribly upset.
When you were explaining it, I was like, dude, take a breath. Jesus Christ.
Right. Yeah.
Later, y'all.
Later now.
Have a good night.